Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Weird Islanders, the podcast. Quick turnaround for us, which is great. My name is Dan. That is Mike. How are you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm doing the best I can with what's going on here in round two. But this is always a welcome distraction. So hopefully we plan another one for Thursday and when it's game five and then Saturday for game six. Because these are basically the only things keeping me sane.
We don't need to talk about what's going on tonight in Manhattan, but there's still a lot of game left. That's all I'm gonna say. But we do have a welcome distraction tonight and a great topic and a great guest. You know our guest from his work at Lighthouse Hockey, where he writes recaps and bits posts and all kinds of great stuff. He is Steven Smith. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing good, Dan. How are you guys?
I am very well. It is great to finally talk to you. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. It's great to put a voice to the words, I guess. I don't know. We don't do a video element to this, so it's really voice. This is your first ever podcast. Is that true?
Yes, first ever podcast appearance, and I'm very excited. Wow. And a little nervous, but it should be fun talking about a great Weird Islander today.
Yes, yeah. I mean, if anybody, trust me, if we can do well over 200 podcast episodes, anybody can do a podcast. They're very simple, so there's no reason to.
I mean, it makes sense to feel that kind of pressure with the guy we're talking about tonight, though.
It's a huge
responsibility.
That is true. Yes, there's a lot to live up to. And so without any further ado, Steve, why don't you introduce tonight's topic for Weird Islanders, the podcast?
Okay, so tonight's Weird Islander is Weird Franz himself, Valtteri Filppula.
That is right. That is right. The man himself, Weird Franz. I used to call him Iceman because of his uncanny resemblance to 1986 Val Kilmer, Valtteri Filppula. This is a great pick. First of all, thank you for picking one guy, because we've had a lot of great episodes lately that have all involved more than one guy, and it's great to get back to just the single Weird Islander. But this guy could not have been a better choice, because he's very recent. Like, other than Travis Zajac, he's the most recent one, but that we've done. But like, he in a lot of ways is kind of like one of the reasons why this podcast exists, because it was so weird having him there. But weirder still was that, like, we really enjoyed having him on the Islanders, and he was really good. So, like, what made you pick Valtteri Filppula off of our giant list of weird Islanders?
Yeah, there was so many to pick from, but not as many in, like, the last decade where I've always been a serious Islander fan, but, like covering the team in the last 5 years, I've gotten even more in-depth, and it's been a lot of the same guys recently. And, like, I know other than, like Filppula, I know he was on that team in 1819, but that's, like, the only thing I could remember about him off the top of my head being an Islander. As I went back and, like, watched videos and highlights of him and, like, saw tweets about him and stuff, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. But, it was – and that – and he also – like, his arrival was, like, the first season of Trotz. So, we were expecting not a great team, maybe like a mushy middle team because they had Trotz, but, like, not a good roster, it seemed like. And then they, like, pleasantly surprised all of us, and it was like a honeymoon phase. So I always look back on his time fondly, even though I don't really remember much of it.
He made so much sense when you look back on it for that team. Like you said, it was a team that wasn't expected to do well, a mushy middle kind of team who I guess the now infamous Deadspin article where it's, ranking all 31 teams in the NHL from, like, best to Islanders.
Yeah.
So I guess even worse than Moshi Middle. And Filppula was perfect, ended up being, like, the perfect metaphor for that team in a way, because everyone, of course, made fun of the signing. You know, here's Lou signing a 34-year-old guy with bad underlying metrics, whatever you want to say. And
with a no-move clause he gave.
And
no move.
but he ends up having he scored 17 goals that season. Yeah. And he scored. I mean, he scored some big ones. I know he scored in the Leafs game. I think he might have scored at both the first game in Toronto and then maybe the game back in the 2-28 game. But that team, because of the way the Trotz era has kind of panned out, because of the two runs to the conference finals. Of course, there was a whole global pandemic in between Strotz's first season and his last, and that we kind of lose sight over just how enjoyable that first season was and how good it felt to kind of just tell everyone to shove it. and Filppula was a perfect foil for that, because he was like a guy who, oh, you want to make fun of us for Valtteri Filppula? Here's 17 goals that he just scored. He's a perfect third line center for this team, and just, I mean, handsome as all hell. When you look back on that team now, you think, like, there are going to be more weird Islanders from that roster, more than you'd think there were, because you think of that team as being like when we think of weird Islanders, we think of teams of, from 2010 and 11 when you get, Brian Ralston or the Vanek situation. Mm. Usually it's a bad team and just a random guy on it. Not a team like that where it's all everybody on it becomes these beloved guys, but that team, when you look at that roster, is now kind of, there's like a handful of them that kind of stand out as weird ones, and I would say this guy Filppula is probably the one who provided the most oomph, the most production, and the most good memories out of the weird ones on that team. I mean, the other ones are like Lucas Pisa, Steven Gianta, like there's Tom Kunackel, like there's a crew of them. Right. But Filppula, like, was good enough to kind of almost graduate from weirdness to, no, he was great.
Yeah. I mean, Robin Lehner is kind of a weird Islander too, obviously, because he only spent the 1 year. But he fit right in. And I think a lot of that was because he was old. He was old when he came to the Islanders. He was 34. And I was talking to Steve before we came on, and, like, it never occurred to me, I'm sure there are other guys that are like this, but, like, he really kind of saw it all in the previous bunch of seasons. He started with Detroit. He won a Stanley Cup second year, lost Stanley Cup third year. He put up a bunch of really good numbers as sort of like middle sixer. He signed the big free agent contract with Tampa Bay, which was great. I remember when he signed that contract because that was one of Steve Yzerman's first big contracts as GM of the Lightning. And I mean, yeah, everybody made fun of him signing with the Islanders, but, like, when everybody signed, when he signed that contract, everybody was like, oh yeah, all right, I see how this is. Like, you play with a guy and then you become GM and then you sign to a big fat contract when you're the GM. I get it. I see how it is. But, his first couple of years, the first year he had 25 goals that first year, and then the second year he was there, they went to the cup final again. But then he just sort of fell off, and he ended up getting traded to Philly. Didn't really work out. He spent two seasons in Philly. I thought it was just one, but he ended up playing 101 games over two seasons with Philly, but it's just his numbers were terrible, and that's what Mike was saying. Like, the bad underlying numbers are there, and then he signs with the Islanders, and so, like, is that right that he wasn't, like, announced, at least at first? Like, he just sort of showed up on a roster? Is that true?
So that was July 1st, which July 1st, 2018, which we all know what happened that day. We don't have to do it, but and then like at 4 o'clock, they announced the Komarov signing breaks. They don't announce it yet. And then at like six p.m. or something like that, someone tweeted that they were on the Islanders roster page on like their site, and they saw Filppula's name, and people were like, "Oh, is Filppula an Islander now?" And then it disappeared. And then it was like, okay. And then like Staples was like, "Oh, I can confirm that he is an Islander, but don't know how much." And then like the team announced like the Hickey, Komarov, and Filppula deals like at 9 p.m. that night or whatever it was.
Oh, wow.
In classic Leafs fashion.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. And so he got the no movement clause, and he made $2.75 million that year, which is a lot. And I guess I was looking at that Staple tweet before, and people were like, "Oh, so this is like to get to the cap floor, basically." Like, yeah, I guess pretty much. But I don't know what the deal with the no movement clause was. I don't know. I guess he was just like, "Please don't trade me back to Philly or anything like that." But we all kind of forgot about it because he right off the bat, he played really well. And did he really score the first goal that season too? Because I don't remember that at all. Is that true?
Yeah, I did not remember that at all until I went back and watched. Oh, sorry. What were you saying, Mike?
Yeah, pretty sure he did. Now I vaguely remember it. And I want to say he scored the first goal of that game. Like I said, he scored like memorable goals, because like the Leafs game and some shorthanded goals.
Yeah.
He was just like, for some reason, he felt like he was on the ice that entire season, because like, he was Trotz's, you know, kind of jack of all trades, his JG Pageau before he got JG Pageau, where he was like, me and you always talk about, Dan, like when the Islanders when someone comes to the Islanders, the first thing Trotz does is says, you know, you're gonna spend five games with JG Pageau. And for that season, it was, you're gonna spend a couple games with Valtteri Filppula, because the guy just kind of, he doesn't kind of venture off script, but he always had a penchant for just showing up. He scored a lot of goals from like right in front of the net, where like the puck would just kind of be bouncing around, and he would just clean it up with like a roof shot. But yeah, he did score the first goal that year.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, of all people, right? He was sort of the jack of all trades, and we're going to talk, speaking of JG Pageau, we're going to talk a little bit more towards the end of this episode about what happened when Valtteri Filppula was not in the Islanders lineup at the end of the season. But I remember after watching the YouTube videos, I remembered the goal against Carolina that he like knifed through eight guys, and you could hear Brendan Burke's voice like, "Did that just happen? Like, really, Valtteri Filppula?" And that was just one of a bunch of goals. He had an overtime game winner, which I completely forgot about, against St. Louis, which was kind of cool. He had two goal games, which was really impressive, and he nearly netted the first hat trick of his career against Ottawa. He actually had was very close, but the goal against Carolina was really something. Like, he just kind of slid through about five defenders and then just roofed it.
Valtteri Filppula has some room at center ice, and he'll weave right on through, get into a good scoring chance, and he scores! An incredible goal for Valtteri Filppula!
It doesn't get a whole lot better than that, Brendan. Valtteri Filppula, what an exhibition of stick handling, patience, poise, and then the finish. Little pass up the middle of the ice. Back, Komarov gives it to him. That's an easy assist for Leo. But he just hangs on. The defense just opens wide. A little fake, little deke. And boy, oh boy, that is so good. That's the thing of beauty, as Joe Micheletti would say. And he'd be absolutely right as he lifts it up over the glove of the goaltender, Darling.
So the best part of the Filppula signing is Dom's article at Lighthouse Hockey, which has a title of, and I quote, Islanders sign Valtteri Filppula for some reason. Now, I don't say that to make fun of Dom, because I promise you that I said the same exact thing. In fact, I think I said it on Islanders Anxiety too. Like, Dom got it right. Why did they sign this guy? And, you know, he talked about how it was like a cap situation thing, and it looked like this looked like a Garth Snow sign. Like, this was the kind of move that Garth Snow would make. You know, they lost John Tavares, and then all of a sudden, who's here? This 34-year-old guy that has had bad underlying numbers for way too much with a no movement clause. And it wasn't, you know, it was like 2 months of that. And then, oh my God, wow, this guy's pretty good. And he all of a sudden has chemistry with another guy who was signed that day, Leo Komarov, which is another weird thing. Like, how these two guys, I guess because they both spoke Finnish, I don't know.
Yeah.
They just clicked, and they were really good that year. That was Leo's best year as an Islander for sure. And that includes the year he was, you know, playing on the first line in the playoffs. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that's that. He the July 1st. I mean, if you put let's put the Tavares part aside, the follow up part of July 1st was just hilarious because I think Dom's title there is perfect. It was just this, like, you know, everything was it was very nihilistic around the team for those few hours afterwards, because it was like, oh, like, what's the point? Like, this team is going to suck next year. They just, they didn't have a home, basically.
Right.
There's just nothing really good about, and we also didn't know or really appreciate just what Barry Trotz meant, having him as a head coach and Lou to an extent of, you know, just having him kind of reshape the organization. But so that day that was basically it. Like, that was the attitude for everything. It was, oh, Leo Komarov's here. Like, who cares? Like, this is like a sick joke. Komarov, I'm supposed to get excited about Komarov, Filppula, Thomas Hickey, who of course we adore him, and then right. And then Leonard, who we would grow to adore, like, coming a little later. Just like every signing was just these guys where it's just, you're just like, you're gonna give me this is how we're gonna respond to John Tavares walking out, to the team that has been courting him for that he said he was never gonna, like, that whole situation. This is how we're responding with Val Filppula, and it ended up just completely working out. And he was, I mean, he's the type of guy that I guess a couple years from now, if he ever comes to an alumni game, you know, he'll probably fall in between. You know, he won't get the, you know, Lubo Visnovsky, Evgeny Nabokov treatment, but he'll be in that, like, kind of Nikolai Kulomin treatment, yeah, where people are like, no, I really, really appreciate this guy. I mean, he played hard, he played right, and he stabilized the middle of the lineup, which was hugely important for that team.
Yeah. And you know, now actually I think about it, so the Komarov and Filppula is basically also like Kulomin and Grabowski. Like, that was basically the same kind of thing. Like, maybe Filppula wasn't the second line center that Grabowski was, but, like, Grabowski unfortunately got hurt that first year, but, like, those two guys were really good and they stabilized the middle of the lineup for the Islanders, and these guys did the same thing.
Yeah.
I also found a goal he had a two goal game versus the Kings, and he scored a shorthanded goal on a 2-on-0 with Andrew Ladd.
Goal of the season for Maiafalo and Doughty. And now a shorthanded chance for Ladd. It's a 2-on-0. Ladd and Filppula score! Shorthanded goal for Valtteri Filppula.
Which, when you think about it, is also like the exact opposite of the Filppula signing. Like, Ladd signs too much. It's a big deal. We make a big stink about it. He's making way too much money. He's here for way too long. And he engenders no love at all from Islanders fans. Meanwhile, Filppula is here for a year, signs for relatively little, and makes a ton of fans. Like, it's just funny. I thought that goal in particular was actually very, very funny.
And that was his second goal of that game too. Like, that he ended up actually, I think it was a beautiful pass by Leo from the corner, like, on the first goal. So, and it was, Komarov and Filppula all season. And like you said, they just played with, like Mike said, they would just play with whoever was struggling. Like, they played with Beauvillier, Kunackle, Ladd, like, they just played with everybody and, like, just went about their business.
Yeah, there was an awful lot of coon hackle in these YouTube clips too. I didn't expect to see that. Well, I mean,
there was a perfect kind of crew in the middle of the lineup there. It was like your old, your veteran guys with cup rings outside of Komarov, but he doesn't need the cup rings when he can speak in tongues. So, you know, you got the linguist, and then the guys with the cup rings in being the kind of chaperones for the middle of that lineup. And they were, Filppula too became like the type of penalty killer in a similar way to guys, you know, like we talked about on the mailbag episode of Islanders Anxiety. So I think someone asked, like, if you could have one guy kill a penalty for all eternity, like, who would it be? And, you know, I think I said Michael Pecky, you said Brian Trottier. And now I think about it, you know, Filppula should be in that discussion. He was, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm talking out of my ass here, but I remember him being a very effective PK-er, a decent penalty kill, face-off guy, and then just a smart penalty killer, you know, type of guy who never really fussed about with the puck. When he didn't need to, and he could move well enough, he was like kind of rangy, so he was like just this guy that 2-1 game, 3 minutes left in the third period, the Islanders need 2 points. Trotz is tapping him on the shoulder, and then it would either be Komarov or Kunackel, like with them. It was just this group of the veteran kind of cliche and like the old guy cliche with Lamoriello really launched with these three guys, with Kunackel, Filppula, Komarov. You know, you can even throw Spezza in there. Like the that kind of trope of Lou only signs guys past their prime and who have you know, playoff experience or whatever, and character and are good in the room, that really just launched with these guys. Like, in fact, like when people make those jokes about the Islanders, you know, signing someone like that, like to this day, you get like a kind of your Islanders of yore flash before your eyes, and Filppula's his beautiful eyes are definitely one of the things that flashes before before me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he had 132 minutes time on ice that year, shorthanded, which is the second most of his career. Third most of his career. He had more his second year in Detroit. But
was he a shootout guy too, or am I just connecting the dots because of the number on his back? But I feel like he was. I feel like he was a shootout guy as well.
I don't remember if he was a shootout guy, but he definitely like scored a lot of goals that looked like the guy he's connected to, the Danish backhand of judgment, like on breakaways and like splitting through defenders and stuff.
That's another weird sort of Lamoriello-ism too, is that he even got so let's get right to the Franz thing. We were going to leave him to the end,
but
we brought him up. He's here, so let's talk about him. I'm kind of surprised that Lou even let Filppula have 51, because it's kind of like out of the Lou range. But I guess when you've, you know, had that many years in the business, in the show, you get that those kind of perks. But, you know, it's not like people forgot Franz Nielsen when Filppula signed. We're only 2 years removed from Franz leaving as a free agent. And here was a guy, European guy, obviously from a different country or whatever, but plays the same position, just equally as smooth. I don't remember if he had too many shootouts, but again, like a jack of all trades type. And, you know, for 1 year, we were kind of able to forget about the loss of Franz Nielsen. And he really stepped into that role, which was really impressive. Now, what's funny is that if Steve brought this up before, I completely forgot about this, but if you go back and listen to the Talkin' Isles podcast episode with Franz Nielsen, he talks about how he and Filppula became friends after Filppula left the Islanders to go sign in Detroit, where Franz Nielsen had signed. So they didn't know each other prior to Filppula coming to the Islanders. And it's just so funny that he kind of immediately stepped into the role vacated by Nielsen. But it was kind of funny. And so that's how he ended up getting the name Weird Franz, because here's this guy wearing the same number, doing a lot of the same things Franz Nielsen did, but just a different guy. And it was a very weird existence. I can't remember a time when that's happened. I mean, there have been 100 guys who wore 16 for the Islanders, and the only guy to even come close to like Pat LaFontaine is Ziggy Palfy. And even those two guys were very different players. They just, you know, kind of performed the same way. Other than that, I can't think of too many guys that had swapped numbers and like made you think of another guy that closely, other than Filppula and Nielsen.
Yeah, and it was weird when Filppula went back to Detroit, and then Nielsen actually gave up 51.
Yes,
Filppula, and took 81. It was weird seeing Nielsen with an 81 under him.
Yeah, that whole situation, just like it. The Islanders universe is so strange, and this kind of weird Franz, joke or whatever you want to call it, the fact that it then manifested itself back in Detroit with that situation is just, it just goes to show you that the universe was absolutely doing something to, you know, they were having some fun with us, with these two guys. And I think what you're saying too about the two of them being, kind of, they do the same things well. And like, even if you think about the beginning of their careers, I think Franz is about three years older or so than Filppula. But when Filppula was coming up with Detroit, he was known as kind of, doing a little bit flashier than Franz was, but similar thing, like speedy, rangy, good on breakaways, great hands, and a very heady player. So it's like, it was almost as if somebody gave Lou Lamoriello, just said like, hey, we should try to get Franz Nielsen back. And he said, okay, but I'm just going to do it for half the price and not as many years because, we can't do it. Cause it's like, what would really cheer up the fan base after losing Tavares? If we get back, maybe the most pound for pound beloved player of this generation. And he said, okay, but, let's just do it this way because, we can't afford Franz on that deal. And it worked out, like you said, and he became just like you couldn't really separate him and Komarov at a point. Like it just became a thing where the two of them, every time that one of them hopped over the ice for PK, for a defensive zone faceoff, the other one was there. And when you think about the two of them, like they never, I mean, maybe they knew each other because of the connection to Finland or whatever from international play. I'm sure they did. And the fact they speak the same language, but they never played together in the NHL at least. So to kind of mesh right away with Komarov is funny when you think about the type of player Filppula was who like Franz, was so quiet and laid back and Danish. And then you have Filppula who was like, just like a cool customer, very, once again, laid back, but like, a little sleeker than Franz, cooler, yeah, more Hollywood, I guess. Reluctantly Hollywood, but, and then Leo, who was like, I can't even think of like a good comedy comparison, but like.
He is his own comedy comparison. Yeah, it's like. He's just Leo Komarov.
It's like you're putting, Chris Farley next to, Matt Damon or something. Like that's how that felt. And it worked. Like,
right.
You were asking that question about Islanders switching numbers. I'm trying to think of an instant chemistry between two new Islanders that worked better than that duo. Cause it's really hard to think of. I mean, I'm just going back to like Adrian O'Coin and Roman Hamrlick.
Well, Letty Boychuk, yeah, I would say probably.
Yeah. Letty Boychuk too. Those make sense, right? Like those kind of, that's what I'm saying. Like these two guys didn't make sense. And it's just funny that they just found, it's like, who it's like? It's like Konopka and PA Parento. Like those two guys just became like inseparable and good buddies. And that's why like this kind of crew of Kunako, Komarov, and Filppula are just, it cracked me up the whole season. Anytime Filppula scored, I was just like, oh, this is great. This is so funny that this guy is doing this.
He had 17 goals that year.
17 goals. I think he was like fourth on the team in points.
Yeah. Like, that's crazy. He almost had a 20 goal season.
Yeah, on like 78 shots too. Like,
right.
Shot like 21% or whatever it was.
Wow. Because I remember that being another thing. People were like, well, this Filppula signing worked out great. And then the response was, well, he's not going to shoot 22% for the rest of his career. Like, well, we don't need him to. He's 34. Right. Yeah. He's not coming back. Yeah. It doesn't matter. But that was Casey Zizekas had 20 goals that year. The Islanders were getting production from just outrageous sources. That was probably Bailey's best year or up there.
One
like,
of them, yeah.
Yeah, like, because I think it was, looking at it now, as Barzal was first on the team of points, then it was Bailey. And then if you look at goals, that I would think Filppula would be higher on the list, but they had a bunch of guys with more than 15 goals, including Filppula. Right. So it's
Filppula had more team, points man. Than Beauvillier. He had one less goal, but he had more points. in nine less games. And yeah, that 21.8%, 22% shooting percentage is the highest on the team, but like you said, I mean, that's just more to, just adds more to the legend, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, If you look at this team, now I'm looking at the games played, and like I said, this team is sort of there's going to come a time where we really appreciate the 2018-2019 Islanders a lot more than I think they do, because so many people will just think about the team last season, and then the bubble run a little bit, but and then the pandemic kind of just like skews everyone's memory. I thought that Tom Kuhnhackl played more than 36 games just because the outrage about him being in the lineup was just so loud. But yeah, he only played 36. But Phil Pulis 72, and of course our buddy Leo there, one of seven players to play all 82.
Not surprising. Not surprising at all. So in the playoffs, so Phil Pulis, speaking of games played, so Phil Pulis did miss a couple of weeks towards the end of the season with an injury. Came back in time though to play for the playoffs, and he played in all 8 playoff games. Did not have any goals, and I was surprised. I kind of thought he had a goal that year in the playoffs, but he did have 4 assists as the Islanders swept the Penguins and then were swept themselves. And, you know, at the time it was like, all right, well, that was great. Like, we just love this guy. He was fantastic. And, I mean, I know I was prepared for him to sign again, and maybe not for quite as much as he had. But, you know, I don't know I don't remember any kind of like – you know, people complaining that, oh no, you can't bring this guy back, or any kind of signs that he was coming back. He was just sort of out there, and then he just left to go sign with Detroit again. I want to say that was, that was July 1st, 2019. Just as quickly as he arrived, he disappeared, and he went back to Detroit on a 2-year contract, like Steve said, got his old number back, and now was playing with the guy who he had replaced on the Islanders. And, His seasons in Detroit did not go well. I know we're not supposed to use plus minus, but man, a minus 42, that's not good. That's a bad season for a guy who, you know, has been defensively responsible. So he was a plus 19 for the Islanders and then a minus 42 next year for Detroit. Yikes. Yeah, exactly. That was pretty crazy. But yeah, you know, it's just funny. He's just like, he just came and went. But it was like he meant so much for that one time. And the thing that I remember most about him leaving, A, that he just left, but that the Islanders spent 3/4 of the next season looking for somebody to do exactly what Phil Pulis had done the year before. Like they had no third line that year. They tried Ladd. It was Leo. I think it was Kuhnhackl again. It was just a bunch of folks trying to they had Derek Brassard, obviously, that who almost came up again in this episode. Like they had a bunch of guys try and play that third line center, and it didn't work. Cole Bardreau played a couple of games that year. Remember, we thought he was going to be the guy until the trade deadline when JG Pageau arrived at great cost to do exactly what Phil Pulis had done the year before. So Steve, what do you remember about that era? Sort of like the absence of Phil Pulis, it was kind of like an enormous thing, and like you wouldn't think that it would come to this, but oh my god, I can't believe we missed this guy that a year before we had no idea who he even was. It's crazy.
Yeah, like the whole summer, I think if I remember correctly, and I might be wrong, but if I remember correctly, I think there were like some murmurs that he might come back, like that the Islanders might want to give him a 1-year deal, but I guess he got term in Detroit, he got 2 years, so he left. And he's familiar with the team over there and everything. And I think Yzerman was back there at that point too.
Yes.
And then
they must be really tight for Yzerman to have signed this guy to 2 contracts.
and then in August, they brought in Brassard on like a league minimum deal or whatever, $1 million deal, whatever it was. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, he's been pretty bad at center recently, but we'll see what happens. Like, I guess, they were trying to catch fire again, like they did with Phil Pulis, and, it did not really work out that well. I think Brassard ended up moving to the second line and then went on that like 17 game point streak.
Right.
But I think if I remember correctly, the whole time they basically rolled 3 lines, which is very not Trotz. Like Trotz does not like to do that. I think that I don't remember who was even on that third line that year. But they did not play much. And then Pageau came in.
Right. I remember too. Yeah, you're right. They did roll three lines because Cizikas was up there too. Mm-hmm. And we were like, well, he's basically a third line now. Like he's like a third line center now. Who else was the other guy? I was just looking at, like I said, Bardreau. I think Otto Koivula got a couple of games in there.
Yeah.
Bailey is listed as its center that season. So I wonder if they tried. Right.
I forgot about that. That was fun.
But yeah, it's just, it was funny. And I remember that being like a huge topic of conversation all season for Mike and I in particular on the podcast. Like, what the hell? This team used to have roll four lines and now they barely have three. What the hell? Who knew that removing Valtteri Filppula would crumble this entire house of cards that the Islanders had built? And then, of course, yeah, once you hit the playoffs, like Brassard had found a role and kind of got on a roll there, and then Pageot changed everything. So, yeah, that was probably the second most shocking thing about Filppula's tenure with the Islanders was that when it was over, oh my God, what the hell? we need that guy back. Bring him back. I was hoping they would trade for Franz Nielsen, but it never worked out. Yeah, that way,
speaking of trades, like at that point too, so before the Pageot trade, Lou had been at the helm, I guess the Andy Green trade, he'd been at the helm almost two full years at that point, and the only trade he had made was for Matt Martin. I think you guys brought this up on a recent episode, actually.
Yes.
Islanders anxiety. And so it's like, okay, is he ever going to make a trade? And then I remember like getting the notification from Elliot Friedman, Pageot to NYI. I was like, oh, wow, that's awesome.
I was in a doctor's office.
I was on the train. I was going to work. But one thing, too, about Filppula leaving – and creating that hole. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of the Nick Leddy situation too, where it's like, this shouldn't be that big a deal to fill. Like Leddy, right, at the point he left was, you know, serviceable, but not someone that's going to be really tough to replace. If you had asked me, like if you said to me as a joke, like, hey, the Islanders are going to sign Valtteri Filppula. He's going to play for 1 year and then he's going to play in the NHL again the season after, but not for the Islanders. What do you think is going to happen? I would just be like, oh, he probably would go right back to Detroit. Like it just made so much sense that this guy would, end up back in with the Red Wings after a 1 year stint on the island. Another one of these guys, there's probably a whole host of them now that we mentioned on the show where you kind of want to ask him what he remembers about it, because it was a magical season. He played a part in it. There was some really crazy stuff that happened in that season in terms of, the fan environment, like almost like that 2006-07 team we talk about all the time with Dubowitz and whatever, and asking those guys like, oh, do you remember like how crazy the run was to make the playoffs? You remember the shootout with the Devils and stuff? Like with Filppula, like you'd be like, do you remember the first game back at the Coliseum, then the Tavares game, the clinching playoffs on home ice, like this Penguin sweep? Like this is a guy who played with Pavel Datsyuk, Henrik Zetterberg, won Stanley Cups with an original six franchise, and then played a lot of minutes with Leo Komarov. Like I'm sure that the Detroit stuff is probably at the forefront when he does his, goes back home in Finland and someone he's regaling, other really handsome people with stories, that he will probably be talking a lot about those seasons in Detroit. But then he'd be like, well, there's also this one blip, which was really strange. And I still don't understand why the fans were so angry the whole season and why, someone threw a snake on the ice, but it happened. And, Penny first starts at that point, be like, what do you remember? Like, do you remember how much fun this season was for us? And, because for, like I said, for a guy who had a very, very solid NHL career, he's the prototypical weird Islander where you'd ask, you say Valtteri Filppula to somebody and it's like that game where it's like, I'll say Filppula, you say what word comes to your mind. I think everyone would just be like, Detroit Red Wings or like blonde hair, whatever. Nobody would say Islanders. I don't think anybody would remember.
Right.
No, absolutely not. And I was like, it's funny you mentioned that too, because I was wondering, like, maybe I wonder if Filppula remembers that he was an Islander. Like, he has seen it all. Like, he played 8 playoff games with us, and those were 8 really meaningful playoff games for us. I mean, even though they got swept in the last 4, but I was reading an article leading up to this, and I think it was after game 3 against Pittsburgh, and he and Komarov had combined for a goal, and I think, like, one of the big takeaways was that it was Filppula's 160 games or whatever at that point of playoff experience, like having won a cup, went to the cup final with the Lightning. I think he was, that went further than I, you know, definitely estimated at the time. And at the time I probably didn't give that kind of experience the credence that it needed. Like, cause I mean, you want like people, hockey, 200 hockey men would say that things like that all the time. And it'd be like, okay, I don't know if I agree with it necessarily, but you watch the core of Islanders that at that point hadn't won anything. They'd won one playoff round total. Watching them come out of that and then get more experience over the next two runs, like you could see that they learned from their experience. And I mean, to take it away from the Islanders for a bit, Filppula's former team, the Lightning, you can see that too now in the playoffs, unfortunately.
Right. That's something we've started to bring up a little bit more, that it used to be almost like a pejorative to like be like, you know, to say this guy's got playoff experience, like it's like a bad thing. Like,
yeah.
And now because it became like saying grit or whatever, old school, whatever you want to, whatever word that somehow became, you know, basically a swear word on hockey Twitter. And so when you did say like, oh, they traded for this guy, they traded for, you know, Braden Coburn because he's got playoff experience. The Leafs love to talk about Jake Muzzin. He's won two cups, like same similar stuff. But now, like I think it's one of the main lessons I've learned from the Barry Trotz era was, you know, this stuff really matters. Like it does matter to know, like, okay, like there's going to be points in the, you know, in a playoff series where you're, you know, you give up a goal you make a mistake, give up a goal, it's 1-1, and the crowd, because you're on the road, is just going to be going crazy, and you just need to brush it off. And Filppula was like almost the embodiment of that. You know, the Islanders take a bad penalty, whatever, the Penguins crowd would go crazy, Trotz would tap Filppula, win a face-off, Islanders clear, and they just would get to work. And it's something that I really wish I could just sit down with a lot of people who are really, really annoying on hockey Twitter and just be like, if you just think about it, it's not a bad thing, like, to have this stuff. And like, they almost tricked us into thinking, you know, thinking along those ways, but we've seen time and time again that stuff really does matter. Like it truly, it's almost tangible it was tangible with that team last year. Like it was like, especially in that Bruins series, I can remember so many moments where like the Islanders just wouldn't get fazed by situations. Brad Marchand, by the end of the series, like, they had completely snuffed out Brad Marchand, and winning those moments really did go back to that first Trotz team with guys, because like guys like Filppula, and I guess Kunackel in a way, like these guys who kind of just instilled that kind of ethos on a team that, like you said, nobody really had won more than a round. And you look back now on that roster, and you know, Cizikas, Martin, the guys who've been around from pre-Trotz, those guys have won however many playoff rounds, not including like the qualifying round, right? And then you look at the guys who left from that core. They didn't, you know, Valtteri Filppula has as many playoff rounds wins since that season as John Tavares, like, has one more than John Tavares, right? You think about like that, right? Like, those guys never, they left a situation, you know, going back to Franz and Kyle, and Tavares, I think even Hamonic, like those guys never won anything. Like, they left the island thinking they were going to win, have a better chance to win. You know, of course that wasn't the only reason that they left, but I'm sure they all thought that. And it turns out that because of guys like Valtteri Filppula, the Islanders actually had the better chance to win because they just had like these perfect role players that came in and replaced them.
Yeah, I'm looking at that roster again, and I'm reminded that Johnny Boychuk did not play in that series against Carolina.
Yeah.
And I remember the year, the 2015 year, when they went to the Caps, the first round, game seven of the first round against the Capitals, two guys played well in that game seven. It was Johnny Boychuk, who had a lot of playoff experience, and Yaroslav Lok, who had a lot of playoff experience. So, no, that's true. And, you know, I hadn't thought about that with Filppula, but yeah, it's true. And I mean, I think there's a reason why they wanted to get him back in the lineup before the playoffs with that injury. But yeah, you know, it's funny. And he's a guy who, it's such a fleeting period of time that he was an Islander. For 71 games, 79 if you count the eight playoff games, that's it. That's the entirety of this guy's Islanders career, and yet somehow he became super duper important. So, I don't know if there's one particular question to ask, but I mean, like, you know, I guess, Steve, I'll ask you, like, I don't know, like, what lesson did Valtteri Filppula teach you as an Islander, as a guy who's about to graduate law school? Like, what lesson did you learn from Valtteri Filppula?
It's a thesis question.
Yeah, right. For the rest of your days in your long and hopefully very lucrative law career.
The lesson that I could take away from Valtteri Filppula's time as an Islander is that I am always wrong and I need to wait to see things that happen. Like, as I definitely felt that Filppula was done when he signed here. Like, watching him play for Philly, he just looked shot. Yeah. Wasn't the player he used to be, and I was very wrong.
I mean, I think it's a good lesson, right? Like, who won this trade? Think about, like, the Erik Karlsson trade or whatever. Like, the Shea Weber for PK Subban, yeah, and stuff. Like, we just won't know. We just won't know until these guys play and no matter what, because, like, everyone needs to have an opinion right away, when even before the full details of a trade come through or signing, like, people will just start to throw around stuff. Like, you know, Valtteri Filppula just made a ton of sense eventually. Like, he just made so much sense for the Islanders at that time. And because of the season they had, he made even more sense. Like, you could argue, like, they definitely don't have as successful a season without him. Because of just the many different hats he was wearing, and this timely goals and whatever. And we probably don't even know that's just the tip of the iceberg, because we probably don't know the little things, that the details that he did for this team, and whether it's in the room or just things that we can't see on the ice because we don't have those trained eyes. But I think it is actually a really good lesson to take from Filppula, which is, like, yeah, if the Islanders are going to sign some guys in a couple months, and we're all going to be like, oh, you know, I feel this way or that way. But if you take a deep breath, you think about Valtteri Filppula, you'll be like, I'll just weigh in on this on February 10th and see where we are.
Exactly. I'll be patient. No more takes from me, that's for sure.
Oh, stop now. Everybody's got to have takes.
but he did. Like, he was a guy that, like, I remember people being, like, really angry. And yes, part of it was the Tavares situation for the Islanders fans, right? But, like, even outside Islander dumb, it was like, oh, how could you sign this guy? Like, almost like it was like a slap in the face to the analytics community that the Islanders would go ahead and give Valtteri Filppula another contract when his XG was sub 45% for the Flyers. And, you know, that is, like, we're sending society backwards. And then they probably all forgot that they had those. That's how they felt about Filppula, you know, 10 minutes later, and never checked back in on him. And, well, we really just enjoyed the hell out of him.
Yeah, that's exactly the truth. Like, it's just, yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's no other better way to put it, I guess. It's just, everybody takes these things very personally, and then they take it personally. Then they take the player in personally over the course of time, you know, when he becomes a fan favorite. So there you go. Well, this has been a lot of fun. And, I mean, where else can you find 45 minutes on one season of Valtteri Filppula? Nowhere else but Weird Islanders, the podcast. Steve, now you've completed your first ever podcast appearance. Now you have that experience. Now you can go be the experience to somebody else on their first podcast experience. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, exactly. Now I can go win a few podcast rounds.
Yeah.
It's a nice postscript, though. I want to say that Leo and Filppula both played for Team Finland this past Olympics back in February. And I think they played on the same line. I don't know for sure, but they both won gold.
Wow.
That's amazing.
There you go. Going out a champion. And I guess we should mention also that one of the other cool things about this episode is that today Frans Nielsen at the World Championships for Denmark played basically his last pro game. And I think, you know, anybody that watched that video that's an Islanders fan got a little bit misty, hoping to see him at UBS Arena next year. And we thought this was kind of a cool way to wrap all that up and say thank you, Frans, for everything that you have done. And thank you, Val Filppula. And thank you, Stephen Smith, for coming on. This has been fantastic. I hope you had a lot of fun. And I can't thank you enough for everything you do for Lighthouse Hockey, because God knows that me and Dom are old and we forget stuff a lot. And you and Jenny are right there to pick up our slack. So I can't tell you how much we appreciate everything you do for us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for saying that. And thank you also for having me on. This has been a lot of fun. Definitely the best first podcast experience I think I could have had.
That's good. That's good. Well, everybody knows where you can find Steve at Lighthouse Hockey all the time. So check him out there. Be kind to him, as always. And Mike, where can everybody find you?
The Big Lebowski with two E's.
Follow Mike at The Big Lebowski. Read his work at Action Network. We'll be back next week with a new Islanders Anxiety. We made it through a couple of days without anybody getting fired, so I guess that's pretty good. But there's still a few more days left in the week, so we'll see what happens when Mike and I record next week. But thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, keep the Islanders weird. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.